Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to Mom and Dad Are Fighting, Slate's parenting podcast for Thursday, October 27th, the Separation Made Simple edition. I'm Jamila Lemieux, a writer, contributor to Slate's Care and Feeding parenting column, and mom to Naima, who is 9, and we live in Los Angeles.
I'm Zach Rosen. I make another podcast. It's called The Best Advice Show, and I live in Detroit with my family. My oldest Noah is 5, and my youngest Ami is 2.
I'm Fiona Kong, founder of the Home Sweet Homes Journal for Co-Parenting Families. My son is named Emil. He's 6 years old, and we live in Los Angeles.
Well, Fiona, thank you so much for joining us. We're so excited to have you. And just selfishly, as a co-parenting parent, I'm always excited to have another co-parenting parent on the show.
Same here. I'm excited for this conversation.
Well, today on the show, we've got a question from a listener at the beginning of her separation journey. She wants to make sure everything goes as smoothly as possible for her 5-year-old son, and we're going to give her some advice about raising a child across 2 households. Then on Slate Plus, we're going to check in on our Halloween plans. Here's what you'll hear if you have Slate Plus.
Noah, this year is going to be Rainbow Sparkle Rose.
That's what I'm talking about.
Which is just a character, I think, that she made up.
That is a costume, Naima.
Yeah.
We have a special announcement for you today. For a limited time, you can get 6 months of Slate Plus for just $29. That's 50% off. As a member, you'll get no ads on any of our podcasts, unlimited reading on the Slate site, and member-exclusive episodes and segments from our show and other shows like Slow Burn, Amicus, and Political Gabfest. If we've become a part of your listening routine, we ask that you support our work by joining Slate Plus. Sign up for Slate Plus now at slate.com/momanddadplus to access all Slate's content and support our work. Again, that's just $29 for 6 months through October 28th. So sign up now at slate.com/momanddadplus. All right, we're going to catch up on our week in parenting, but not before a quick break. See you back here in a second.
This podcast is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you're driving, cooking, or doing laundry, Progressive knows the podcasts you listen to go best when they're bundled with another activity, much like how their Progressive home and auto policies go best when they're bundled. Having these two policies together makes taking care of your insurance easier and could help you save too. Customers who save by switching their home and car insurance to Progressive save nearly $800 on average. That's a whole lot of savings and protection for your favorite podcast listening activities, like going on a road trip, cooking dinner, and even hitting the gym. Yep, your home and your car are even easier to protect when you bundle your insurance together. Find your perfect combo. Get a home and car insurance quote at Progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $793 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2021 and May 2022. Potential savings will vary.
This podcast is sponsored by Skylight Calendar. Let's be real. Running a household can be exhausting and chaotic. And finding the perfect Mother's Day gift, it's not exactly a no-brainer. Until now. The Skylight Calendar is the best way to organize the family and give everyone, especially mom, some peace of mind to enjoy the things that matter most. The Skylight Calendar is a smart, touchscreen calendar that keeps track of and manages the chores, dinner planning, groceries, and to-dos for the whole family. The Skylight Calendar automatically syncs each family member's digital calendars and displays them all together on one color-coded touchscreen. It even doubles as a digital picture frame so you can finally share all those special moments that are just sitting on your phone. As a limited-time offer for our listeners, get 15% off your purchase of a Skylight calendar when you go to skylightcal.com/easy. That's skylightcal.com/easy. Get 15% off your Mother's Day purchase now at skylightcal.com/easy.
All right, we're back. Fiona, as our guest, do you have a triumph or a fail to share with us?
I do. I had my son for a few days last week, you know, given that I co-parent. And one day, this was Friday afternoon, and I think after the whole week, kids are tired. There's a lot of energy and, you know, it's been a long week. So we were at the park and things were going fine at the very beginning. Towards the end, things started falling apart and he was with some of his other classmates. And all of a sudden, there was a lot of kindergarten drama breaking out. Some of the kids started arguing and it was just kind of a symphony of, you know, these big feelings. All of a sudden, my son, he was curled up in a ball on the slide and he was sobbing. And I, of course, you know, you're wondering like what happened. And, you know, so I went over there and he didn't want to tell me. And in those moments, it's right. The thing you can do is just let them move through it. Right. Yeah. There's just not much you can say or do. When he was finally able to tell me, he said his friend had told him, "I don't want to hear from you." And that had really hurt his feelings. So I make it a point so that every night we talk about our feelings and kind of review our day so that he has a chance to reflect. And we didn't get a chance to do it until Saturday morning. And he has a journal where it has five faces and there's like, it ranges from happy and, you know, sad, mad, and there's a crying face. And he ended up circling all of those things. And I was like, what made you feel like that? And he mentioned it again. He said, you know, I don't want to name the friend, but she told me, "I don't want to hear from you." And apparently it was really in his heart, right? He had slept all night and he woke up and he was still thinking about it. So we got to talk it out and say, you know, it's normal to have these feelings. And, you know, that girl, she was mad herself. And sometimes we say things that we don't always mean. It doesn't mean that you're not friends anymore, but, you know, there's times where, you know, sometimes we make a mistake and we say things we don't mean. And, you know, it was just a good moment where I think he was able to open up.
And I can't help but think of this girl who said it, like, it's so likely that someone said that to her, you know, like an adult in her life, because a kid doesn't come up with language like that. I don't want to hear from you.
I don't want to hear from you.
You know, it's a very adult phraseology, you know, so I'm sad for her that it's likely that someone probably said that to her. And now she's trying to, you know, exorcise it in the only way she knows how.
It sounds very likely, because that's not kid language in the slightest.
Yeah.
But it is great that you all were able to have an exchange of feelings in that
way. Amazing.
And that, you know, that he's so communicative about what he's feeling inside is really important. You've obviously done a great job giving him the language to talk about how he feels.
We want them to tell us, right? No matter what, good or bad.
So true.
Zach, what about you? You have a triumph or a fail?
I have a triumph. As a Jew, I've been thinking a lot about Kanye and just the rise in anti-Semitism in the country, just hearing stories everywhere about hate speech and this stuff on the rise. As the backdrop to the really wonderful season of Jewish holidays we're in the middle of right now, and just the ways in which we've been able to fold my oldest, my youngest Ami, who's two, he's involved, but like Noah, my five-year-old, is able to start to understand the holidays and really get excited about how we celebrate and why we celebrate, and just kind of relishing in the ritual, which my wife and I've tried to be really intentional about, like starting a couple weeks ago with the holiday of Sukkot, and then there's another one called Simchat Torah. We've just been like taking her to our synagogue or to the synagogue events that have been happening around the city, and congregating with other folks who are also Jews in Detroit, of which there aren't so many. It's just so cool to see what it actually looks like when we hand our rituals down to our kids, and for them to actually be excited about it and to ask questions about it, and to kind of do it in community in a way that is fun to us. Like growing up, my Jewish upbringing was fine and great in a lot of ways, but I was never like excited about it. And now I'm seeing Noah get excited about it, and then I in turn get excited through her. And it's just this really special thing that I'm not taking for granted. I'm just like super like, wow, we are raising a Jewish child in Detroit and doing it in the way we want to. And Feels great.
I'm so envious of anyone who's really like found community where they live, you know. I mean, that's what happens when you move away from where you grew up, you know, and keep moving. But that's awesome that you all are able to come together and celebrate the holidays and that your kids are, you know, I just think it is every time you talk about
Bruno,
your Jewish stuff, you know, I just think it's really cool. And we have the same commitment when it comes to Naima and, you know, and her culture. But I think it's really important for our families to introduce their children to their heritage in a really meaningful and thoughtful way and to normalize it, you know, for it to not just be a special occasion thing, but just a part of who you are.
Yeah, thanks.
It's some of these traditions that we keep up, you know, that we can talk about from generation to generation that makes our childhood and sharing it with the next so special.
Yeah. Shout out to you from being of a religion that has so many holidays. That's got to be nice.
We got so many, especially in the fall.
So many. Yes, I'm aware of it because I've raised a child in New York and LA.
Yeah.
So ask me how
I
know.
Yeah. Love it.
They get those days off, which is very cool. All right. Well, my fail is that I have become a baker again. My triumph is that I've become a baker again. I realized that, like, we always have cake or brownies or cupcakes in the house now. Like, we are making these things, like, every other week, sometimes week to week. Last night, we baked cupcakes, and it was very important to Naima that we baked cupcakes.
Yeah.
That the cupcakes even got baked was a triumph, because we didn't get home until 6:45, and, like, we'd had to put the cupcakes off for a day, and she was devastated about that, because we didn't get home until late on Sunday, and she was like, but you promised, and I'm like, but it's nighttime, it's, like, late, you know, you have to go to school in the morning, and so we made black and white cupcakes last night. They came out, they're good. I have an exacting standard for baked goods. I'm very particular about them, but she really liked them. I think they're decent. I think there's room for improvement. Mm-hmm. I think they're a little dry, but we got them from the New York Times cooking section. They're like vanilla cupcakes with chocolate chips in them and a chocolate icing. But yeah, like, we just can't stop baking over here.
I mean, it's such a great bonding activity.
Yes.
Yeah, Noah and Shira do it a lot. Do you watch baking shows together?
I don't. No, we haven't. Maybe we should. The only, like, baking show we've ever watched was Nailed It.
That's so fun.
Oh, that's funny.
So fun. Yeah. On that note, let's take another quick break. We will see you in a second with our listener question.
Talking about money can be so hard, especially when the person you're talking to is still learning how to do long division. That's why Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace, is here to help. I'm Bridget, and with my fellow co-host Ryan, we help teach your little ones about complex topics like bankruptcy, climate change, and why there's so much gold at Fort Knox, and so much more. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.
Time now for our question. Dear Mom and Dad, I'm the mom to a really wonderful 5-year-old. He just started kindergarten this year and has transitioned well overall. This is wonderful because we may have a new change coming. His dad and I are thinking about separating. We've started discussing how we're going to make this work. He's thinking of moving cross town, far, but not far enough where he can't be involved in our son's life, and it'll make joint custody easier when we get to that point. I'll probably be the primary parent as his job is requiring him to travel more now. What I want to know is, how do I make this as seamless as possible for our son? Is there any way to make going back and forth between homes easier? We're just at the beginning of this process, and I love some tips and advice, as I'm sure there's a million things we're not even considering in terms of making this easier on our son. Thanks to Home Soon.
I have so many thoughts on this. I wish we had 2 hours to talk about it. I've been co-parenting for 3.5 years now, so I was definitely at this starting point then where you're trying to make the best of the situation for your child. And I heard this really good quote on Instagram, and I don't know who it's attributed to, but essentially it was, do you want a child-centered divorce or a divorce-centered childhood? And that context was just so powerful to me, because, you know, when we I had to start approaching it. It's this whole big mess, right? You're rearranging everything. You know, I actually ended up moving out. And so there's just a lot of dynamics happening. And you want your child to be okay. Of course, that's the first and foremost thing. So I had like a whole list of things. I actually put together a guide on how to make transitions easier. And I would say the top, I'll do two, maybe three things, is one, you know, you are the rock for your child. That for me meant, you know, taking control of my healing, my happiness, my well-being. And if you don't put your own life jacket on first, you can't take care of your child in the best sort of way. So as I said, just taking time to heal and do things for yourself is probably one of the best things. And also focusing on, if you can, that relationship with your co-parent. And I know it's not always possible because, you know, there's, you know, on their end, they may be a narcissist and it may be high conflict. But, you know, if anything you can do for your child, it's, you know, don't speak badly of them in front of your child. Don't argue or fight in front of them. I actually spend a lot of time reading, you know, comments from adults who went through divorce as, mm-hmm. you know, their parents were divorced. And a lot of them say they remember the fighting and the arguing. Like, that's what sticks in their mind. And yeah. that's something that I would never, no matter what, right? You know, don't put that in front of your child. The second thing I would say is give your child consistency and predictability. You know, their whole world is being turned upside down. Like, they have to most likely, right, live in two homes. And that schedule is, I think, a real challenge. So we started using a visual calendar for my son when he was 3, and he was able to use it, right? Like, and we were on a 2-2-3 schedule, so none of the days were the same, right? So it would, like, I didn't always have a Monday and Tuesday. It would vary every other week. And I think having that visual for him made him feel safe. You know, you can print one out. I actually created a journal specifically for co-parenting families. It's a journal that's and a planner that stays with a kid between homes, and it has their schedule and it has journal space every night where we can talk about what happened. In many ways, they're being bounced back and forth between homes. And how will you know what they're struggling with unless you ask?
Jamila, I want to hear your perspective on this. I just had a quick question for both of you. Do either of you, either, you know, on an ongoing basis, or did you at one point have a conversation with your kid's other parent and like establish ground rules of like how to be?
So when we first separated, it was, I would say, it wasn't highly contentious, but we weren't very friendly, and we are now. Like, it's been an evolution of, you know, like, we're, when we first started, you're dealing with your own emotions, and we would only talk about anything related to our son. Mm-hmm. He was 2.5. So we did have to have a lot of those conversations about, you know, how we, you know, do things in certain, in both households so that he could have consistency. We were able to do that. I don't think it's, you know, some parents aren't there yet. We would have an official meeting, and that's something we did, and we never talked about like our personal stuff. But, and it was kind of weird, like having a business-like meeting, but that's what worked for us. And eventually, you know, we're in a really great place now. We've taken family trips together, but it wasn't like an overnight thing by any means.
We've been co-parenting Naima since birth. We broke up, you know, prior to finding out that we were expecting. So we've always been doing this. And it was a, you know, contentious breakup and a difficult situation early on. But from when Naima was born, there was just this kind of unspoken agreement that we were just going to make things work. But no, we never talked about ground rules. We never had a formal parenting conversation in the early days. Our talks were very limited, just logistics, and mm-hmm. this thing happened, this many diapers, this observable rash, you know, this happened, that's it. Like, we weren't talking parenting pedagogy, you know, like, I would assert things that I wanted, you know, I think she should do this, I think she should have that, you know, but we didn't really become collaborative until, you know, a few years in, and, you know, over time became, you know, friends in a way and have like a really amicable relationship and have done holidays and things together. But no, like, it's kind of scary what we've been able to do without officially talking about it, you know? We're in constant conversation about, you know, Naima and how we navigate certain things now. But, you know, I do realize that there are two different households. You know, the other factor is that in her other household, there's another mom and another child, you know? And so I think both households are led in a lot of ways by the mother energy, you know, and it's similar in a lot of ways and different in other ways. And so I think that if it were just Naima that we were dealing with, there would probably be some things that we'd be talking about that we're not talking about, because since they're also parenting another child, you know what I mean? Like, it's kind of hard for me to, you know, like, some of the things that I wish that maybe we were all on the same page about, it's like they've got their own parenting pedagogy and set of things that they feel and need and believe in, and their own child, you know. And so for me to challenge that, you know, in service of my own child is difficult. But I would still think of us as being relatively collaborative.
Yeah. And I know that the listener also asked about logistics, like what would make going back and forth easier. I assume, like, you know, kids have two sets of toothbrushes and stuff, but what are some like non-obvious things that you've figured out logistics wise that helps to make life easier?
A wardrobe.
Double wardrobe.
You know, like a wardrobe that you enjoy in both houses so that there's no like, oh, I wish I had this, but it's always at so-and-so's house. And you can keep the, you know, we generally, sometimes things stay over here, but I usually try to send them back, you know, so that they have their full wardrobe of clothes and things to choose from. You know, and I have the one that I've purchased. What else? Favorite toys for a five-year-old, you know, things, comfort items, favorite foods. Yeah, I think in terms of like things to remember, those are the ones that stick out the most for me. In terms of other logistics, I would say trying to establish a rhythm that you try to adhere to, a schedule that can be flexible where it needs to be, but that feels like a schedule, you know, like, so you start having rituals. And like, as Fiona mentioned earlier, like saying it out loud, like, I'm going to drop you off at your dad's house today and I'm going to pick you up in 3 days, you know, and like acknowledging that. I know there were times where I think we were just so busy and doing so many things that there would be things coming up and Naima wouldn't know, you know, and I'd be telling her last minute, like, oh, dad's picking you up tonight. And she's like, huh? You know, but you always pick me up on Wednesdays. I'm like, oh, but dad has to do it because you all are going somewhere. You know, it's like, she really needs to be like, your child really needs to be like clued in on changes to the schedule and like have some idea of what their time with you all is going to look like. It shouldn't be haphazard. And if dad's travel schedule is such that it can't help but to be haphazard, you still need to figure out rituals with him. Phone calls, Skype calls, FaceTime, or whatever, like there needs to be some dad time rituals every week, you know, so it doesn't feel like a disruption once he's in town.
It's also true, just being flexible is so key, I think, in the beginning when it's a tough time for them. One of the traditions that I do is actually like a welcome home tradition to welcome my child back home. And you talked about this, like you having a favorite food. I started picking out books from the library and I would put a new book on his nightstand every time he came home. And he would always be like, oh, a new book. One last tip that I feel has been also helpful for us, for especially for younger kids, is I started going to the library and getting books that talk about separated homes, two homes, and families, diverse family types. Because when you think about children and they think, hey, I'm supposed to have my family in under one roof. You know, they don't know anything otherwise. So there's so many good books now for divorced families that talk about, you know, just living in two homes that help give them perspective and normalize it for them.
I always mention the Kids Book About series as being really helpful. There's a series of books called A Kids Book About, and they cover topics like divorce and terrorism and abortion and, you know, other things that are challenging to talk about with the kids. But, you know, I think you should get a bunch of those books. And like Fiona said, diverse books, you know, ideally books that look like your family and some that don't look like your family, but just really normalizing this experience, you know, that there are people all over the world, you know, kids your age, younger or older, that are going through the same experience, because this is very common. There are very few children's books that feature single parent-led households, you know, and it would be really nice for your child to start reading those. You know, there are books that are sometimes about children that are going through a divorce, you know, or children that divide their time between two households, I guess. But I haven't seen too many of the ones that are about co-parenting or about single parent led households. But if you can find some, you should. Okay, well, to home soon. We're wishing you all the best. Please keep in touch. We love to know how everything goes. We really appreciate updates. Everyone else, if you have some advice to offer, please send us a voice memo or email us at momanddad@slate.com. That's also where you can send us any questions of your own. And that's it for our show. Fiona will be back with us on Monday for another question and everyone's favorite recommendations. So be sure to tune in. And while you're at it, please subscribe to the show wherever you get your podcasts so that you never miss an episode. This episode of Mom and Dad Are Fighting is produced by Christy Taiwo Macanjula and Rosemary Belson. For Fiona Kong and Zach Rosen, I'm Jamila Lemieux. Thanks for listening.